Okay, this is our fourth shiur in the Lights of Musar series, learning from the Chever Maimarim, which means Compendium of Maimars. A Maimar is like a shiur, but usually more in agadic and non-halachic material. So often in a Musar Sefer, we refer to the sections as Maimarim. So this is the second shiur in the Chever Maimarim, the Compendium of Maimarim of Rabbi Rucham Levovitz. Last week we began what's numbered in the Sefer as Maimar Chaf Hey, I believe. Yeah, Maimar Chaf Hey, Seder Mitzvahs Yom de Purim Ve'inyanim, the order of the mitzvahs of the day of Purim and their underlying inyan, their underlying matter. It was just revealed to me that nothing I said made any sense. So
I thought I understood
let me try to summarize, and hopefully we'll make it somewhat clear. Ultimately, all of Musar is elusive because it's more than the words. It either clicks or it doesn't click. And that's why a lot of these ideas you have to really think over time and again. But the idea that Rav Yerucham has presented, again, just to review from what we saw on page Ayin Beis, the Shalah HaKadosh, the Holy Shnei Luchos Abris, Rav Horowitz, one of the great Kabbalistics for him, points out that Yom Kippurim is only like Purim, which obviously that's at a deeper level of meaning, because when the Torah says Yom Kippurim means Day of Atonements, and the Purim story hadn't happened yet, but he's showing you a deeper level that there's such a thing that Yom, the holiest day of the Jewish year, Yom Kippurim, is only like Purim, which alone would tell us there's something very special about Purim. Rav Yerucham elaborates on what that means. It's really a teaching from the Arizal that it is supposed to be a day of total negation of evil, of Ra. And what he pointed out is that there's two levels of that. One is when there's Ra and we've just quashed it, we've put it down. Another is when Ra, when bad, turns around to become good, which is a higher level. And he said, Adam HaRishon, first man in his original state, didn't have Ra within him, but was susceptible to Ra, was susceptible to bad. Hence, he did the chait. He encountered the Yetzer Hara and ended up sinning. When we say that the goal of the world is to get back to the state of Adam HaRishon before the sin, as he pointed out, it's really to be greater than that, because it's to turn bad around to good so that it no longer is a threat. So he was explaining how Purim is really supposed to do that. The underlying theme of all of the mitzvos, we have these Bein Adam L'Chaveru mitzvos, Matanos L'Avyonim, and Mishloach Manos. The idea is to negate and put away all kinds of tension, and when we give out stucca left and right and indiscriminately, because it's supposed to be just a day of total goodness. And on Yom Kippurim, when we're all in shul and we're living like angels, it's easier to avoid negative encounters. But Purim in some ways is a higher level, because on Purim there is no Isser Melacha, there's no prohibition of doing work, we're not in shul all day. In many ways, it's a day like others, and we have interactions with people, and still there's supposed to be this great goodness. So in that, that's one way in which Purim is greater. So all of this leads to, the truth is, I don't even know if we'll get to the next page today, but we're really on page Ayin Dalet. We're on the second side of the original handout. We have the original sheet from last week. We're on page Ayin Dalet, the second full paragraph on the page. So given that that's what Purim is, and that's what Mishloach Manos is, and he quoted last week from one of the great poskim who understands the Gemara as saying that if two people dine together, they don't even have to send Mishloach Manos, which means even the beneficiary, even the guest, is exempt from Shalach Manos, which is very surprising, because he didn't seem to send anything or give anything. But the Bach, in a surprising novel, Chiddush, says that the goal of Shalach Manos is just to create that sense of ahava v'achva, fraternity and brotherhood, and that therefore, even without sending Mishloach Manos, he has fulfilled his obligation. Again, this is a Musaf Shir, not a Halacha one, so please do give at least one Mishloach Manos this year. Don't rely on the fact that somebody invited you for the meal, but the fact that the great Bach, the Bayez Chadosh of Yael Sirkus, could say that is telling, and it's symptomatic of, it's indicative of how the whole spirit of the day is. And he said, and that's really what it means, where do we ever find a degree of rejoicing that seems to go against the whole idea of the day? Haman was evil, he was terrible, he was bad, we blot out his name. Mordechai was the great tzaddik, Mordechai and Esther. We're supposed to engage in such revelry and such partying on Purim till he doesn't know the difference between cursed is Haman, and I almost said cursed is Mordechai, which would have been, I would have fulfilled it right there. But anyway, cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. That's the way you formulate what you're trying to do on Purim? Doesn't that seem to be against the whole idea of Purim? The answer is no, Purim is bitul hara, nullification of bad. It's turning bad into good, which is a taste of la'asid lava, of the ultimate world, the world in its ultimate redeemed state. And that is why our sages formulated the ultimate goal. Again, how you do that practically, the Gemara puts some constraints on. But the idea, the reason why our sages formulated it in that way is because the idea is there's no evil. I've never heard of Arur Haman. But when the climax of Purim is, there is no Arur Haman. There is no cursed is Haman. But that brings us to the first full paragraph on page Ayin Dalet, which is really a question on all this. Says the Mashgiach, that's all fine and dandy. No, I assure you, he would never speak like that. But says the Mashgiach, V'ro'i leva'er lefize, but it is appropriate for us to explain, based on all of the above, Eich mat'im laze sh'ar dine hapurim. How does it reconcile with what we've said so far, all the other laws of Purim, kigon kriyas hamagillah. Kriyas hamagillah, when we read the Megillah, we're reading about the evil Haman, and we're banging and booing when we hear his name, and of all of his evil, umacho timche, and the Shabbos before Purim, we read Parshas Zachar, the obligation to remember that we have to obliterate Amalek, and in the morning of Purim, we read about Amalek, and that God's throne will not be complete so long as there are Amalek. We're very cognizant of evil. She is Sodom who dafka Arur Haman, their foundation, those type of mitzvos. When you read the Megillah, you're very acutely aware of the evil of Haman, as with Parsha Zachar. V'zehu be'er hadvar. So, here's the answer. And as we really just raised a question, we just said Purim is a day when there's no evil, but on the other hand, we make ourselves very aware of evil. How do you reconcile the two? Says the Mashgiach, Purim hu bebechinas olam katan. Purim is a microcosm of the world. I started to read this last week. He doesn't mean in space. He means in time. Kol hamistovev umishave ba'olam hagadol. All that goes around, that goes on and comes to existence in the great world, b'shita alfei shnin, in the 6,000 years. That's the term that Chazal used for the duration of the world, 6,000 years. Rav Shimon Schwab in 1962 published a radical theory. There's a discrepancy between secular historiography and the Jewish tradition as to the Paras and Madai period, where we have 50 some odd years, they have over 210 or something like that. A lot of people have written about this. There's all kinds of scholarship. He had a theory. Most people try to say why the secular historians are, there must be some mistakes. Some in fact wrote that some of that history was based on legends and hieroglyphic things that weren't really hardcore history. But Rav Schwab wrote a theory that actually more years took place during that era than we recorded, that our sages deliberately, if you could say such a thing, hid the fact. They hid 165 years. I think he had a gematria, the numerical value of the word so Daniel. The secret of Daniel, of Daniel, is 165, which is the number of years, that the difference between the way the secular historians have it and our years. And he had a theory that the sages wanted us to think we're further away from 6,000 years so that we not become complacent and think Mashiach will come regardless. So to make us feel further away, and there's a pasuk in Daniel that says, "Stomas a kates, hide the end." He had a whole theory based on this, which would mean that we are actually 165 years ahead of where we are. In 1991, he retracted.
Baruch Hashem.
Why?
He said he felt too radical a theory. But an interesting little side point to keep you interested in my Musar Shir, but this was an interesting article of Rav Shimon Schwab. He did write it in 1991. He felt it not correct. But in any event, I mentioned that because we mentioned the 6,000 years here. So everything that's going to go on during the whole course of human history, Tzarech Shiyishave B'Purim, has to happen on Purim. He doesn't mean in any person's private life, but he means Purim is supposed to represent all of that. What does that mean? He's elaborating. I mean, I'll just to summarize so it's clear, what he means is there has to be evil rises, evil becomes strong, good is endangered, good even suffers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in, evil is put down, evil turns into good, and they all live happily ever after. So what he's going to be saying is there are mitzvahs of Purim, which are the earlier stage. And as Purim isn't just automatically a snap, it's the 15th, it's the 14th of Adar, oh, we celebrate, there's no evil. And Purim, you have to sort of traverse the different stages of evil building up, and evil is, so you have to go through the Megillah, and only afterward is it that evil has turned around to good, after the end of the story. That's basically what he's going to say, but he develops it more than that. Let's see. Issa v'Chazal. There is in the writings of Chazal, you can see there in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, Olam hazeh doma l'pruzder b'fnei olam haba. This world is like a hallway before the world to come. That's famous Mishnah. Kol hal asad lavo. All of that great future. The idea of bitul hayetzer, that the yetzer hara will be nullified. Shayetzer mishapech latov, that the yetzer becomes good. Remember, the yetzer hara is created by Hashem too, so ultimately it has to be good. Kol ze yetze me olam hazeh. All that comes out of olam hazeh. This is a recurring theme in the writings of the Baalei HaMusar, and I'm just going to elaborate a little bit the way I understand what he's trying to bring out. We look at a world where there's evil and there's suffering and there's darkness and there's confusion, and we look at olam haba, we look at malachim, we look at pure Torah, we look at pure goodness, and we see them as two disparate places. This world is necessarily dark, and it has all kinds of hardship and confusion. Olam haba is all light. We look at them as opposites. But Hashem in His wisdom set up the only way to create olam haba is in olam hazeh. In a word, what the Baalei HaMusar keep emphasizing is, don't put down this world. This is the way God wanted it to be. Don't make it like that other world, that's God's world, but this is a dark place devoid of Hashem. Absolutely not. This is the way He wanted it to be. He wanted it to be that those struggles in the darkness, that is the way and the only way to create Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh is the hallway into Olam Haba. It's the only entranceway. So, in fact, many of the Ma'amarim at the beginning of the Sefer are really about this theme. Oh, here is where it's at. This is the will of Hashem. This is the way to earn it. That means it must be holy. It has confusion and it has darkness. That's what makes the challenge. But this is the only way. This is the only gateway into Olam Haba. Kemosha Amru, as they said in the Medrash, Al Pasuk Mi Yitain Tar Mitame. Who can give something pure, holy, from something impure, unholy? So that's a Pasuk. Chazal said that refers to Olam Haba Me Olam Hazeh. Who could pull off such a trick? In other words, from an impure manufacturer, you expect something impure. Who could pull off such a trick that the way you get Olam Haba is from Olam Hazeh? If we really understood how opposite they are, we would find it strange. But the point is, it is that way. God set it up that it is that way. Olam Hazeh hu kulo choshech. This world is all darkness. The Olam Haba kulo or, the world to come is all light. Ume choshech zeh yotzei or, but where does the light come from? Only from this darkness. Dafka mechoshech olam hazeh yotzei or. There's no other way to get it. It comes from here, and that's the way Hashem set it up. That's not some kind of fluke or accident. That is the ideal setup, odd as it seems to man. Here's an interesting illustration of this. Huva b'chazal. There's a Gemara cited by Chazal. Maisa benosin tzotzisa. Tzitzis. There was a man named Nosan Tzitzis who had a radiance to him. Shenikrakach, it means he radiated. He was called so. Al Shem Ha'ar Shenir Al Roshah. He had some kind of light on his head, some kind of like a halo. Ukeshaaluhu me'ayin zachal arzah. When they asked him where he got it from, Sipur, he told the story. Shamad ben Isayunim Isha Shekol Yomav His Avela. He told the story of how he had a certain desire and he overcame it. Desire for a certain woman, and then he overcame the Yetzirah. Umizeh, from this, Mishviras Hayetzer, from breaking of the Yetzirah, Mehalosina, from a Yetzirah of a very unholy thing, Yatzahar. That's where light came from. You think a Yetzirah, an impurity, that's going to create light? The breaking of the Yetzer is the best way to get the light. That's the only way that light emerges from something that we view as so unholy. But the fact to overcome, to be in the darkness and overcome it, even when man just does a little bit, man is weak, can't do so much. But he, in his little way, he was bocher, did the right thing. A human being does the right thing in a place of darkness, in a place with his unholiness and Yetzer. That creates tremendous light. Just like we appreciate physical light more in the darkness. Do bedikas chametz. When it's dark outside, and then you can use your candle and you can see. You appreciate light more from the darkness. Bivikucho shel Moshe im hamalachim. In Moshe Rabbeinu's disputation with the angels. Im hatorah makoma bashamayim aroi shetinas anaris. This is a famous gemara. The gemara of Masechet Shabbos. They talk about that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, so the angels were very upset. They said, "Mali yaludisha beinena. What is a human being doing up here?" And Hashem said, "He came to get the Torah." And they said, "Say what?" They said, "You're going to give your Torah, your holy Torah, to man with all of his foibles and his yetzaharas and his unholiness?" And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to Moshe and said, "All right, they got a good claim. What do you say, Moses?" They said, "No, what do you answer? Speak up for yourself." Hachzer lehem tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu had to defend the right to get the Torah from the Malachim. And there's a constant tension between Malachim and man, because Malachim in some ways are holier, but the one thing they don't understand is that man gets his holiness from struggle, from free will. So the Malachim don't understand, Hashem, you're going to give your holy Torah into the hands of somebody who can literally defile it. Notzach Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was victorious. He won. He beat the Malachim al yedei ta'anoso by way of his claim. She'ein shayach b'malachim lo sirtzach lo sinav. By saying to them, we just read the Hasaras HaDivros this week, this is apropos, he said, you don't have the possibility of murder, you don't have a Yetzirah, you don't have anger, you don't have other Yetziraras, lo sinav. These are not relevant to you. Ki dafka mechoshech olam hazeh yotzer. It's not even so much that it's not relevant to them, it's that you don't have the potential for bad. You don't have darkness, and therefore you can't earn light. True light, that's why a human being ultimately is greater than a malach. Most don't live up to that, but if a person struggles with the darkness, the light that emerges is greater than an angel. So ve'in lo motzei acher, it has no other source. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, exactly because man has weaknesses, that's exactly why he can bring out true light. But you malachim are stagnant. You are holy, but you're not getting any holier. You're not bringing out more light. Man brings out light. This nasan tzitzisa from overcoming a yetzahara brought out more light. Next paragraph, bottom paragraph on Ayin Dalet. V'ayin b'das tvunos, and look at the Sefer Das Tvunos. Again, he quoted it in the piece we read last week as well, the first part of this piece. Das Tvunos is the Rosh Chaim Lutzata, the Ramachal's Sefer that's a little bit more in depth even than Derech Hashem. These are very beautiful and fundamental Sfarim that help our Amunah because they explain to us a little bit how the system works. So Das Tvunos is a little bit more involved. I think it's available in English. What do they call it? The Knowing Heart or something like that? I think they don't translate it exactly, but the Sefer is Das Tvunos. Shesifro Miyusad Alzeh, his whole work is the foundation. It's founded on this idea, Levar, to explain Ech Shekol Noam La'asid Lavo, how all of the pleasantness of the world to come, Kol Haziv, all the radiance, Bo Mehachoshech, comes from darkness, Mitoch Ribui Ha'afela, from the abundant deep darkness, v'dafka b'makom hatzaras v'yisurim, and specifically from a place of hardships and suffering, Shom hu hamatzmiach Yeshua. That's where salvation sprouts from. V'hu yisod gadol. This is a big, important concept. Shekol adam tzarach sheyedo ehu. That every person has to know. Shemishviras hayetzer mekabel ha'adam or. That from breaking the Yetzirah, from overcoming the Yetzirah, a person gets light. There's a teaching that the Vilna Gaon quotes, I think, from the Zohar, that for every moment that a person was going to say something, and they realize it should better go unsaid, and it's a Yetzirah, and they keep their mouth closed, the Zohar or Hagonos, they merit the hidden light that's reserved for tzaddikim. It's specifically from having a Yetzirah, from having something impure, and overcoming it and beating it, that brings out tremendous light.
Yeah. Encourage people to go down such that they can raise themselves up. That's antithetical to what we believe. I mean, if you're holding somewhere, then you should work. You should view, I guess, the level you're on as being able to raise you. But you can't kind of yourself. We just kind of sink down a little bit because then.
Yeah. No. 100%. Yeah. No. We don't. We do not bring ourselves to Nisayon. Say a tefillah every morning, Lo l'idei Nisayon, don't bring me to Nisayon. In fact, there's a famous chazal about David HaMelech, and every chazal has to be understood at a deeper level than the simple words, but there's a medrash in Sefer Shmuel that David HaMelech says, why will the Jewish people say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and not Elokei David? And Hashem said, well, they had Nisayonos, they were tested, and you haven't been tested. And David said, okay, so give me a Nisayon. And then the whole story with Bathsheba happened, which isn't exactly what it appears in the Navi, but it wasn't a good idea. So if even David HaMelech, with all of his greatness, it's not generally a good idea to look for Nisayonos. We're certainly not supposed to look for it. But life has its own Nisayonos, even without our looking for it. In fact, a good while back when we learned the Chazon Ish's Sefer, Emuna Bitachon here, he is responding to a Musar movement gone awry, like going too far, especially he was particularly opposed to a certain school of Musar, which he felt ran very far afield of what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who's your outsider today, ever meant, I believe, right? So he writes that observing the Torah properly brings with it enough Nisayonos. This Musar school actually held of going to bring themselves to Nisayon instances and overcoming it. He said, we don't need artificial Nisayonos. It's hard enough to do the mitzvahs wholeheartedly and fully and overcome all of the challenges and the struggle involved in that. It's Nisayon enough. The halach itself is all-encompassing in life and presents enough challenge. We don't need to go looking for more. But yes, certainly the general view, with a rare exception for tzaddikim, who were actually supposed to bring themselves to Nisayon, but generally it's not a good idea. But it happens naturally anyway. So he says, "V'hu yisod gadol." Third paragraph, third line of the bottom paragraph in Ayin Dalet. This is a big, important principle. Shekol adam tzarach sheyeda ehu. Okay, that I read. I'm sorry. Next line, v'yachol kol adam b'matzavo. Each person in his own circumstance, his own level, is able lahargish zos, to feel this. Sha'afilu mishviras yetzer kala. This is a fascinating idea, that even from a small breaking of the yetzahara, of the evil inclination, margish hukvar noam beligvul, he feels a boundless pleasantness. Shkiach is saying, if a person had a yetzahara and overcame it, he feels that there's a taste of olam haba, a limitless pleasantness that he feels. V'chol ma sha'adam mishaber yoser as a yetzer, and all the more that he does so, Margish hu yoser nimus, he feels more of this pleasantness. Again, I agree, Janet, not that we're supposed to go looking for it, but where things do come up. Ad kishu mishabro legamri, to the degree that if he breaks it entirely, azai hayetzer mishapech lo ohev neman. Now, this is a level that's beyond us, but if he can entirely beat the yetzer, if he really beats him till he hits the mat, and the ref says, one, two, you know, he a real knockout, then the Yetzihara becomes his best friend. This is a Yesod in Musar. He's going to elaborate here, but basically every other adversary you have, they don't like it being beaten. Most people don't like being beaten. The Yetzihara is the one exception. He becomes your best friend if you beat him, and if you let him win, he hates you. That is the Yesod, the concept that he's talking about here. It makes perfect sense. Because the Yetzirah is really a charade. There is no evil. Hashem has to create the potential for evil in order to do good, but there is no real evil. So the Yetzirah wants to be beaten. He's not happy with the person who goes along with him. So really the Yetzirah wants to be beaten, but he doesn't throw in the towel. He puts on a good game. He puts on a good game face till the very end. But then at the end, the guy who gave in to him thinks he's going to come and give him a yashar koach, thinks he's going to give him a congratulations. The opposite. He hates him. And the guy who he beats, the Yetzirah says, shkoyach. Thanks very much. Okay? And that is, he quotes a pasuk here, ulehepech, and to the contrary, mefanek minor avdo. This is a pasuk in Mishle. He quotes the other half of it a sentence later, v'achriso yi'amanun. One who is mefanek, you've heard the term mefunak, somebody who's coddled, spoiled. So the pasuk, so the pasuk shot in the pasuk in Mishle, one who spoils his slave, his servant from youth, his end will be, he'll be the boss. In other words, this servant, he's supposed to be working for me. He's supposed to be doing things. But if instead of teaching him how to do the work, I don't know, put your feet up, it's fine. Here, or maybe I'll get you a glass of tea. So you spoil the person who's supposed to be working. You know what's going to end up happening? Yeah, he's going to be the boss and you're going to be enslaved to him. So Mefarshim apply that, so it's referring to the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah, which are really a person's drives, those are supposed to be enslaved to the Seichel, to what you're really supposed to do. But if you spoil him, you teach him, oh, no, no, whatever you prefer. No, please, you tell me what to do. So if you coddle the Yetzirah, the end is he's going to be the boss. And he's going to be telling you what to do. He's not going to be a friend, he's going to be a boss. So Mefanek Minor Avda, one who is Mefanek, he coddles his Eved, from his servant from youth, which means if he listens to the Yetzirah and he gives in to him, he's raising an enemy for himself. His end will be, manon is a word that means like the officer, the one in charge. Says the Mashgiach, v'zehu sod gadol b'melchemes ha-yetzer. And this is a big, so it means it's a deep concept, it literally means a secret. This is a big secret in the war against the Yetzirah. She'enu b'shar ha-melchamos, which is not applicable to other wars. She'b'shar ha-melchamos, bottom line in Ayindal now, in other wars, ha-menutzach somne sinas mavis es menatzcho. In every other war, the beaten hates a death hatred, that's a term from Tanakh, but an extreme hatred to the victor. The loser hates the victor, an extreme hatred. But in the battle with the Yetzirah, Ne'ese ha-yetzer ohev gamur. The Yetzirah becomes your best friend. L'misha meshabro mavatlo, to the one who breaks him and nullifies him. V'hatachlis ha-yotzeis meha-melchama, and the end goal that results from the battle, who should dafka yedeze hu ne'ese ohavo benefesh. It's specifically by way of this, the best, you want to make him as a friend, the best thing to do is to beat him down, beat him all the way. And going back to that Gemara that he quoted before about Moshe having this dispute with the Malachim, b'Moshe Rabbeinu Amru Chazal, first full paragraph in Ayin Hey, with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal say in that Gemara Maseches Shabbos, about when Moshe went up to get the Torah, Shala'acha shenisvakeach im ha-malachim, that after he had his quarrel, a vikuach is a dispute, a quarrel, so after he was misvakeach with the Malachim, Kol echad ve'echad ne'ese lo'ohav, and after he threw down his winning argument, they all became his friend. Ad shegam malach ha-mavis mosa lo davar. The end of the Gemara says that they all gave him gifts. The malach ha-mavis, the angel of death, who's not usually one that we consider a close friend, gave him a gift. V'gila lo sod ha-ketaros. He taught him the secret that ketaros protects from death, something that was used in the Book of Bamidbar. Shesgulosa sod ha-chayim. Its special capability is life. The Malach HaMavis says, oh, I'll give you a gift. I'll teach you how to beat me. The Ketores can save, the incense that we burn can save from death. So let's analyze this a second. Says the Mashgiach, you'd think it would fit more if some other angel would teach Moshe. Hey, Moshe, I got something to teach you. I don't know, Gavriel, Michal. One of the other Malachim would teach him how to beat the Malach HaMavis. Why the angel of death himself is the one who taught him how to defy the angel of death. Ulam huha yesod shebe'arnu. However, the answer is that's the deep concept that we explained. Shesod hachayim bo dafki mimalachamavos. The secret of life comes from the malachamavos. Dekein huha emes, because that is the truth. Shemi milchemes hayetzer, that from the battle with the yetzahara, yotze, what comes out, what emerges is shayetzer mishapech latov. If you really beat him, he turns good. Mimalachamavos atzmo, from the angel of death himself, mehachoshech, from the darkness, yotze hachayim va'ar, comes life and light. So now he quotes also a medrash about Avraham Avinu. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, "V'tzos Hashem darkei ish gam oivav yashlem ito." When Hashem is pleased with the ways of man, his enemies will also make peace with him, which Chazal applied to the Yetzer Hara. If Hashem is happy with the ways of man, his enemies, the Yetzer Hara, will make peace with him. There's a medrash that says that Avraham Avinu was ascetic with himself. He was harsh on himself. And from that, specifically, he beat the Yetzihara and turned him into a friend. That's the Medrash he quotes in that paragraph. I'm actually going to skip to the next one. The last paragraph of this Mimer. So remember, this was all a trip in order to answer the question we had. If the whole idea of Purim is that there is no Yetzihara, there is no evil. The reason why Chazal formulated the celebration as till you don't even know what Arur Haman is because there's no bad on this day. So why do we in fact emphasize what Haman was plotting with such detail? There's almost no story in Tanakh that has so much detail of the plot of the evil one. And when we stamp him out and we emphasize destroying Amalek before Purim, on Purim, I thought there's no bad today. So getting back to that, now that we've elaborated on how the ultimate good has to come out of the bad, the darkness. So it's like this. Mitzvahs Purim halohi mitzvahs bitul hara k'moshe b'yarno. The mitzvah of Purim is, so to speak, to reenact, to experience the nullification of evil. U'mahalach ha'dvarim hu al derech zeh. And the order, the process of this is as follows. Mitchila tzarech lios arur haman. The beginning, it has to be, Haman is cursed. You have to feel cursed Haman. Look at this evil person for no reason, gratuitously. He's ready to wipe out men, women, and children. Davka arur. Specifically, definitely, cursed, arur meshukets belikates, cursed and despicable with no limit. And baruch Mordechai gamken belikates udvul. And you have to have set up opposite that, blessed is Mordechai. And it's not just Mordechai, it means all the good, it means Esther, it means all that's good in the Purim story. You have to see just how righteous they are, how selfless, how good. Melchama b'chol tokva, you see extreme evil, you see extreme good, and you feel the clash, a melchama and all of its power. Shelo levater afilu al chutasara, that cannot compromise even a hair's breadth. We cannot compromise with such evil. You have to have good against evil with a full-blown battle. V'zohi mitzvah sasei shom machias Amalek. That's what the battle of the elimination of Amalek is. At all the storms say Amalek is also the inner person. It means the Yetzihara, the inner enemy, the outer enemy. It's all the same. There's ra, there's bad. And when we really understand good, we understand how much bad has to be eliminated. But v'acharkach, afterward, kishinatzeach hamelchama ad gemira, when he's victorious in the battle to the end, gemira like gamar, like finished, v'yishaber hayetzer legamri, it is entirely broken the yetzahara, hatachlis sheyiskabel mizeh, the end goal, the ultimate goal that's received from this, that he gets from this, hu sheyiyotzeh etzlo ad lo yada, it should go so far that he doesn't recognize evil. To try to take it to that level of Olam Haba, where evil doesn't exist anymore. The Yetzirah threw in his hat. Yeah, you beat me. Yashar Koach, I'm your friend now. No more. There's no more evil. There's no more external evil. It's messianic time. There's no more internal evil. The Yetzirah surrendered. Detachlis hamalchama husha Yetzir nesa ohev. The goal of the battle is that the Yetzirah becomes a beloved one, a friend. The Uz Ein Kvar Arur Haman. And in fact, in that state of being, there is no cursed as Haman. Shaharab Tachlis Mishapech Latov. The ultimate bad has turned around to good. So Valderach Zehu Mitzvah Hayom. The title of this whole Mimer was The Order of the Mitzvahs of the Day of Purim and Their Underlying Concept. So the Mitzvah Hayom of Purim are as follows. Berishona Kriyas HaMegillah. At the beginning, the reading of the Megillah. And the statement I will obliterate Amalek, which is what we read in the morning, the Parshas B'Shalach, about the war with Amalek, how they started up for no reason. It was gratuitous hatred. Every other nation that ever attacked us had a reason. They at least wanted something. It was corrupt, but they wanted something. Amalek was just gratuitous. V'achakach ad lo yada. Then, when Amalek is beaten, then it's ad lo yada. He says, ulefi zeh, according to this, yotze, comes out, what emerges is, shemi yishemakayim el ha'ad lo yada, somebody who fulfills ad lo yada kodem, before reading the Megillah, and before, I guess, mentally going through these stages, emotionally, lo yata, has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Okay, what would happen if a person's going to have a Megillah reading late in the day, and for whatever reason they need to have their Purim meal early in the day? He's saying, based on what he's explained here, the real order of events in Purim is first depicting evil, understanding evil, seeing the clash, beating evil, then taking it to the level where evil is not only eliminated but turned around to good. Then it's ad lo yada. Then it's this revelry to the degree that we don't even feel evil anymore, which is a vestige of what the Messianic time is supposed to be like. So he says, if a person becomes in that state of euphoria that he doesn't recognize evil before he's undergone those steps, he flipped it around. He says he would not have fulfilled the mitzvah. I think he means this even the halacha. The dafka mikriya samagila, that's specifically from reading the Megillah, meha arur haman, from the quote-unquote cursed is haman, from the umacho emchel, obliterate amalek, misham yotze ha'ad lo yada, that's where ad lo yada comes from, just like he's been saying in the earlier paragraphs, that the ultimate light comes from the struggle with evil and the elimination of it, so too here. That's the only way that he could really reach ad lo yada, the feeling of that evil has turned around. And that is the goal that is sought after, that we're aiming for. So I think if we could summarize, the idea of Purim is to first build up just what a threat there is and just how evil is. Which is something the next Maimer, which I hope to begin in a second, we'll talk about, but to see just how evil it is and to understand just how much good suffers from evil, and there has to be a clash that cannot coexist. But then when the clash happens and when good stands up for good then and is victorious, then it turns evil around and in fact takes it to a degree that there is no more evil, because ultimately there is no evil, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only force. Ra is there as an asayon. It's temporary, but it's meant to be beaten. Okay.
So there is evil before you do battle with it?
Yeah. There's certainly evil in the world. We live in a world where there certainly is evil. And as we say in the bracha every morning, the first bracha leading up to the Shema, we say, Yotzer Or Uvare Choshech, Osa Shalom Uvare Es HaKol. He created light and darkness, he created good, and the truth is that the pasuk it's based on says, Uvare Es HaRa. He created bad and good. Hashem made both. God made both. But the idea of Ra is not, the idea of bad is not for its own sake. It's to really, everything in the world is for good. Evil is here for good, but there has to be the potential.
But you have to overcome it before it's considered good.
Right. And we're not there yet. We're not there yet. But the idea of Purim is to have a taste of what the entire world is supposed to undergo, culminating in that evil has been entirely turned around to good. And that's, it's such an insight into why Chazal expressed themselves the way they did. Our sages have this phrase that it's just hard to, when we first hear it, it sounds so strange. A person is obligated to inebriate himself on Purim until he doesn't know the difference between cursed as Haman and blessed as Mordechai. What would you mean by saying such a thing? But the answer is because Purim is to take it to that level that evil has entirely been eliminated. Let us just begin with the few minutes remaining. Is that okay if we start the next Maimer? Yeah? Okay. So this is Maimer Chavav on page Ayin Hey. And a few lines here, and then it'll continue on the next page I gave out. This also was said on Purim. The Mashkiach used to give like these hour and a half Mamarim, which were enthralling for the Talmud students who were there. And they didn't know about off time. I was in the men's group now. I'm reading the Mamar that he delivered on Pesach. They were in the yeshiva on Pesach. And of course, they're learning too. This is just the side stuff. This is the Musar. This is not the primary. The first Mamar we just read was said on Purim. This next one was said Purim in the evening, probably right after the meal or at the meal. So, pretty heavy stuff. Okay. Chovav sod sinas ha'umos liyisrael sinas hara l'tov. The underlying secret of anti-Semitism, the hatred of evil to good. Mashgiach starts off as follows. He frequently does this where he makes a general observation at the beginning of a mimer and then applies it to what he wants to apply it to. Ha'adam behivoldo motzehu kvaras ha'olam. Man, by his birth, with his birth, finds already the world, mesudar, set up, davar davar al ofnav. Each thing set up in its way. That phrase, davar davar al ofnav, is a pasuk in Mishlei, which Rashi and Chumash invokes a number of times. When everything makes sense and it fits in, that's called davar davar al ofnav. It literally means each thing spoken in its right place. It's a pasuk in Mishlei, tapuche zav, amaskios kesef, davar davar al ofnav. It's like balls of silver in gold, some kind of receptacle, like some kind of beautiful ornament. When everything's spoken in its right place, that's what it feels like. Yeah, it's just beautifully decorated. What Rashi says in Chumash a number of times, I'm not trying to give you all of the meanings, all the midrashim, I'm just trying to give you the basic meaning, davar, davar, lofnav, that everything should fit in and make sense. So it becomes an expression that's used. So here, Rav Yeruchim is using it to mean, man comes into the world and everything's set up. There are all kinds of systems. It's all been set up. Look at the social systems. All kinds of systems all set up. V'hu mishtadel hatim halachayev el ha'anachas ha'mekubolas ba'olam. And he tries to justify and reconcile the course of his life with the premises that are accepted in the world. The whole world around me does certain things, behaves in a certain way, pursues certain things, that's already been established, and I better fit in. I'm going to march along. Mabit hu al kol mikra ba'osa ha'ashkafa shemashkifim ba'kol anshei daro. He looks at every incident with the same viewpoint that all the people in his generation look at it. Kefi shehorgalu v'lamdu me'avaseim v'avosavaseim. As they have become habituated, trained, and learned from their parents and their parents' parents. Hamuskam be'eni habrios l'chacham gadol. Whoever it's agreed upon in the eyes of people that he's a great chacham, this man knows what he's talking about. Gadol hu gam be'enav. He's great also in his eyes. The whole world says this guy knows what he's talking about. I do too. I think so too. Ki ilu haisa hanacha zo chok v'lo yavar. As if this premise is an absolute rule that cannot be violated. It's inviolate. She'en l'har achara. You can't have any second thoughts. Can't have any thoughts after it, meaning to think otherwise. V'rak ma'at mizer, and it's only a few from the few, yechkemu will become wise, v'yishtadlu, and will try l'habit al ha'olam, turning the page, now we're on the next handout, on Ayin Vav, will look at the world, al ha'olam b'mabat mufshat, with a viewpoint. L'habit means to look, habit l'sof davar, right? Mabat is a viewpoint. Mufshat really means like stripped. It says in Shirashim, Pashatati es kutanti echachel b'shen. I've taken off my cloak. How can I put it back on? So mufshat means, and like also with the karbonos when they skin it, mufshat means removed with a removed viewpoint, meaning he's cast off the cloak of what everybody else assumes. My English is not as good. I'm looking for a phrase here, and it's not coming to me. But not a removed viewpoint, but objective, removed.
Disconnected.
Huh?
Detached.
Yeah, a detached view of. Yeah, it's detached from anybody, any prior impressions. It's unbiased, independent, all of the above, and none of them was the word I was looking for, but it eludes me. But we got the idea. Levaker kol davar ba'ein sichlo. By the way, the Bali Musa really did this, which I think was part of why sometimes they really ruffled feathers, because they really did not go along with the way other people looked at things, and sometimes it's a little too shocking for others, but to analyze everything in the eye of his seichel, in his mind's eye, ulahavin hakol, and to understand all, lo kamitzos anasha milumada. Mitzvos Anashim Lamada is a phrase from the Navi, which means just doing mitzvos like you've been habituated that way. The word lamud really doesn't mean learning, it means trained. Mitzvos Anashim Lamada means the mitzvos of people that just, everybody does. I get up in the morning, I do this, I do this. That's just what I do. That's what my friends do, that's what everybody around me does, so I do it too. And it's just, I'm on an autopilot. the Jewish people are criticized by the Navi, by the prophet, for doing mitzvahs just as mitzvahs anashim lamoda. But broader than that, you can look at the whole world as mitzvahs anashim. This is the way everybody's talking. There's certain ideologies that become popular. The whole academia thinks that way. And you're in the world, and that's what everybody's taught. In all the forms of media, that's the way they're talking. That is truth. And if you don't believe it, you're crazy. That's just the way it is. Yeah, okay. Ela lachkar achar makar umotze kodah. Rather to analyze and go after the source and the place where it's coming from for everything. Where is it really coming from? V'oz yira esakol ba'or achar. Then he sees everything in a different light. But as he said, few people do that. So he uses some slang here. Amharatzis halazu. This amharatzis. Amharatzis means this foolishness, this ignorance. And amharatzis is the term used for an ignoramus. So amharatzis is almost like a Yiddish term. It means this foolishness. Hushrisha has become rooted, kvar, already. Kolkach, so much belibos haminha inoshi, in the hearts of humankind. To the degree that the footprints of all prior life have been, means like melted, but they're washed away. You don't even see the way it used to be. Whatever the mindset is now, that's it. That's the way everybody thinks, and that's it. There's certainly things in our society, I'm not here to make a commentary on our society, there are many things like this, and the fact that man used to not think that way, they couldn't care less, but this is accepted now. Sipru, they told the story, She'echer Avar B'ayara Katana B'Rusya, Sovatis. Somebody was going in a small little hamlet in Soviet Russia. V'ro'a Andartoso Shel Lenin. And he saw a statue, and Andarta is a statue, of Lenin. Mutseves B'Rosh Chutzos, standing like it out in the town square. Pogash Betino Katan, he went over to a little kid. A little kid, V'sha'alehu, and he asked him, Shalmihi ha'andarta. Who is this statue? V'anahu atinuk b'tmimus. And the kid answered him in earnest. Haleo zehu avi ha'medina shalanu shebekarav yi avi ha'olam kula. That's the father of our nation, who soon will be the father of the whole world. Just, that's wow. The way it is. So, that's an introduction to what he wants to get into now. The people tend to always view things the same way. I never step back to think, does this really make any sense? So now he gets to the specific topic that he wants to talk about, which obviously we'll have to continue more next time, but just to start it, he says, Hine ha'olam kulo asuk v'she'elas ha'yehudim. And this is being said in the 1920s. The whole world is now caught up, is busy with the question of the Jews. Kol Medina, every state, every country, mehagdolos ad haktanos, from the big ones to the little ones, gidoleha v'chachameha, each country's great ones and its wise men, kulam asukim b'shel, they're all caught up with this question. Kol ha-diplomatia, all the diplomacy, shalom, soveves alinyin zeh, it all revolves around this. V'afilu b'inyonim shalachara ein lehem shaychus imayudim, even things that seem like they're not really connected, Toch tochem shel hanyanim, the real core, the real inside of it. Garinam, their nucleus, their shell, their inner vizakmendos of English? Their kernel, thank you. In be'emes ha'yehudim. In truth is the Jews. And the things that on the surface don't sound like it, but really it has a lot to do with the Jews. Hamabit v'mabit mufshet k'tas, the person who looks with a little bit of a removed, a detached view, same term used before. Yishtomen will be astounded. V'yitman, he will wonder. Mazos, what is this? And by the way, this is as relevant today as it was then, in different circumstances, but ha'im ze'ata nolda she'elezu? Is it just now that this question came up? Shetrudim heim bub, his onion is kol kach gedola, that they're so busy with it, so caught up with it, with such interest? To be misanyen is to be interested. Such interest? Mikoros ha'olam neda, from the events of the world we know, Shashum she'ela lo also biyada lahasik olam l'zman meruva. There's no question that kept the world busy for too long. If you think about it, I'm not such a historian, but I think the many issues that came up, they dealt with it for a couple decades, and then there's a resolution. Either they decided to go this way or that way, and that's it. It's been resolved, and you move past. It's already been established. Right, how do we deal with it? We deal with this like this. We deal with this like that. And it's a piece of history, but the same question, the same unresolved question going on for so long, we don't find this. Eza, Sirius, Shanim, Him, Daiva, Hoser. A few decades Sirios means decades of years, is more than enough, Bishvil HaShe'elos Hachi Chashuvos, for the most important questions. But Ubepisaron She'elos HaYehudim, but for the solution to the question of the Jews, Tarud HaOlam Zek Alpayim Shana. The world has been busy with it for thousands of years. Velo Nimas Alein Klal. And they don't reject it. They don't find it already enough already. Bechol Dar V'Dar, in every generation, Mischadshos HaChakiros HaYeshanos. The old questions are neschadish, they come up anew. Haroim hema Yehudim o tovim? Are they bad or good? Ha'imar ilim hema sa'olam ala hepech? Do they poison the world or are they great contributors to the world? Ki'ilu ze'ata nolad amze, as if just today this nation was born. Lo yad'uhu mitmol shilshon, they didn't, never heard of him yesterday or the day before. Ve'achshiv maschilun l'taus al kankana. That's an expression, that, it means like to hit a bottle with it, when you want to tell like the nature of its contents. It's an expression used in Gemara when somebody wants to see if somebody a chacham or not. So he gave him a little test. It means he checked him out. What's he all about? When you want to see what something's all about. So it's as if just now, hey, who are these guys, the Jews? What's with them? What are they like? As if this is like, you know, we're newly off the boat, just arrived here. And we'll continue next time. But what he's going to say is, it's a wonder. It's supernatural. With other things, doesn't work that way. And where is it coming from? It's coming from a deeper source. So he's going to talk about, and he's going to show how the Megillah is really presenting. We read the Megillah, it almost looks like a caricature. It almost looks silly in some ways. Haman is this sinister. You know, he's always drawn in the kids' books as this silly-looking person because his evil seems almost silly. It's almost laughable, and his arrogance and his intolerance and so on. But the Meshkil is going to talk about why the Megillah presents it that way. And really, the Megillah ultimately is a story of the ultimate hatred, the ultimate goodness. And he's going to use that to try to explain what we see in the world. So, Mitzvah Shem, we will continue next week with the rest of this Maimer, Mitzvah Shem, from Rabbi Yochum Lubavitch. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.